But we got our honey this morning. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. Let's sing that one more time as Brother Terrence comes up. Amen. Something good is bound to happen if we expect it. Amen. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord.
Amen. Good afternoon. Let's see one with us. Glad to have Sterling back with us. Amen. Good to see him there. Amen. He did x-ray on his head and found nothing. So just remember that. But he's in good shape. MRI came out, nothing. So we thank the Lord for that. Amen. Let's see. Remember the ones traveling? Remember Dad and them are traveling? Brother Durrett said some of the guys are traveling, so remember them as we go. Also, I have a thing here. It says, to our church family, we thank you all for your love, concern that you've been shown to us in so many thoughtful ways during this time of loss to the Krantz family. To quote Don Ginn, there's a lot of love up there in Lula. There's a lot of love up there in Lula. That's the way he would have said it.
Amen.
Old dirt. We miss him. But we thank the Lord for, still remember Brother Gary and his family. Just keep him on your heart. From this morning, Brother Mark, Brother Mark's got stomach virus, so remember him. Sister Regina this afternoon said a 10-year-old died this weekend named Samuel Hudson. Prayers for the family. The grandfather was driving the golf cart and it flipped over and the grandfather couldn't move it. So remember that family. Remember especially the family, the grandfather and the rest of the family in that situation. Michael gave me one, said my classmate's niece hurt her back in a cheerleading accident, is in the hospital, has no feeling in her legs. Please pray for her. So remember that. And also we are praying hard and mighty for Dale Roberts. Remember him this afternoon too as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. We'll be with ones that are traveling. We know of many people that are traveling. I know Joyce and Charlotte, some of them are traveling. And Lord, many other ones that we have mentioned, Mom, Dad and Anna's traveling, and all the brothers are traveling. Just be with them all. Whoever's traveling, families, wherever they may be, Lord, you come down and bless them, be with them and guide them. Be with a request that was mentioned. Remember the Hudson family, a loss of the loved one there, the little fellow there, Lord. And the family is going to go through that situation. Just be with them and guide them. Help them. Help us all this afternoon, Lord, and give Wade strength.
Yes, Lord.
Give us strength, Lord, that we can listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Chapter 4:17. He is my everything. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. saved when God got a hold of me at 21 years old, and my goodness, He made everything new. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when I get tired, you know, you get weary, you got life, it's heavy sometimes, but I can remember how God met me and changed my life, transformed my life. Amen. And I can shout all by myself sometimes, just thinking how God delivered me. Amen. I grew up in this message, but the message wasn't real to me until God came and found me on a college campus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. And He changed me so completely. I went from just a stark sinner on that campus thinking I was everything to carrying that Bible with my wife. We changed. God changed us. We packed our Bible around. I'd walk in the cafeteria. I'd put my Bible down. I was a different person by the grace of the Lord Jesus. He made everything new in my life. And I thank the Lord for that. And I know He's still that same God today. Amen. Let's worship Him. Let's sing that one more time with all of our heart. Thank you, Jesus. He is my my little light shine by His grace. Let's sing 652. This little light of mine. Amen. Let it shine. It's an honor to let that light shine. I appreciate all of you. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. No, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it go. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it. Let's stand, let's sing that first verse. This little light of mine, this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine, oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. Shine, let it shine, let it shine. Deep down in my heart, glory. Deep down in my heart, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, deep down in my heart, I'm gonna let it shine. Deep down in my heart, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine till Jesus come. Let it shine till Jesus come. I'm gonna let it shine, oh, let it shine till Jesus come. I'm gonna let it shine, let them shine till Jesus come. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, this little light of mine, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, oh. this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. This little light of mine. This little light of mine. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. The Reed sisters, if y'all want to come on up, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. You may be seated. Amen. We're glad to have our sisters with us. Sisters, the Reed sisters, y'all can come on up by the grace of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We shall wear a crown. Amen. By the grace of the Lord. That was a real blessing. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's sing 22, Victory in Jesus. Amen. That's our victory. It's His grace. Amen. I always say I'm so glad to be part of that story, His story. Thank you, Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning, that I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever He sought me and He bought me with His spirit, and somehow Jesus came and brought glory to me, the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever He sought me. Story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Glory, thank you, Lord. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Love me, I Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Brother Larry, help us, brother. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's sing I'm a New Creation, 544. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's so important to pray one for the other. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He redeemed me. And saved of Him. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. Jesus. Amen. He redeemed me by the grace of the Lord. And we've been born again to do something, to win. Amen. And we're more than conquerors. If we just continue to hold on to that unchanging hand by the grace of the Lord and to pray for one another, lifting one another up. I believe we live in such a time of this independent spirit that you just, we hardly pray for one another the way we should. And that's so important. I was reading a story not too long ago about this man. He went to a brother's house and his teenager son picked up the phone and was very rude. He was on one line, and that was when the phones were attached to the walls. And his father's friend picked up the phone, and the young man was on the phone. He was like, "Who's on the phone? Get off the phone. I'm on the phone." It was just very rude. And that man left, and he called the dad later on. He said, "Oh, my heart was broken when I heard your son acting like that. And I've been up in the mountains praying and fasting. And God gave me the victory." And that man was changed. That young man was changed. And he was sharing his testimony back then. And that's how it's so important to pray for one another. Certainly the young people, they certainly need our prayers during this time. I mean, it's a very dangerous, dangerous, dangerous time. And the enemy, he's at war. And it almost feels like nothing's wrong, which is wrong. It feels like nothing's wrong. They're fine. They're going to be okay. No. We have to pray for one another. Satan is doing everything he can. Amen. And not just for the young ones, but for all of us. It's no doubt it's a battle. Amen. Well, let's get ready for the word. Let's stand. You excited? Amen. Well, let's sing with all of our heart. Our brother, get ready. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of
your
love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing.
Amen. If you want to see him, you've heard the song sung. Now just turn around and say, God bless you to somebody, and you'll find him right there. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have all of you here. Got a good crowd, even when half the crowd's gone. So, remember to pray for Brother Dale and Anna. They're on their way up to, they're actually going to Vanderbilt University there where Brother Dale is, and that's where our brother Dale should be, up there where you can pray for him and give the family some comfort. We're still human beings. We still got things that we go through that we need help with. So we pray the Lord will bless them tomorrow, whatever they have to go through. If there's any left, Thomas, just give them back to T and let him, I ran those off so we don't have to do the chart, and you can write your own notes or whatever on it. And keep them with you, because we're going to be studying now on the sixfold purpose. I doubt we're going to get to, but maybe one of them today. So, just give everybody one. There should be about 50 of them. So, I mean, little kids probably doesn't need one, but unless they want to color on it or draw on it. Michael. Wow. They grow up, don't they? Man, they grow up. But good to be here. Like I said, remember the brothers coming back from North Carolina. They had a real good time. Talked to them yesterday. They're having some really good fellowship. Brother Bob and Brother Luis and Brother Zach and Brother Joe and Brother Anderson and their family are coming back from North Carolina, I think, as we speak. So just keep them in your prayers. Also put on your calendar October 26th. That will be our church annual fall festival down at Gillsville Park. We got to get all the arrangements done for that, but we'll have hot dogs and all that stuff and little things to do for the kids. So that will be October 26th coming up. Man, it's almost in October. Good grief. He said he'd make a short work of it, so I'm glad he is. I don't want this thing to drag out no longer than it really is. So I wanted to get out of here. So, and that's what we're going to try to do. So today, if you mind, turn your Bibles. Or I gave you all a copy. I didn't know, but the brothers in the back, I told them there's three young men sitting back there. And if you add all three of their ages up, they've probably not even gotten to my age yet. So, but they've got huge amounts of experience, and they're going to try to put the stuff on the board. But if they don't get it all up there, then you've got it. You should have most of it all there where you can read it. So we're going to go into the sixfold purpose, as Brother Dale was saying this morning. We need to understand Daniel 70 weeks. Maybe there's still people that have different ideas, but like I told you before, we got to go by what the Bible says, because Brother Branham did not change the Bible. He cannot change the Bible. Faith's final resting place. We'll read it in a few minutes. If some of you already read through the quotes, I found two of them where Brother Branham said, faith's final resting place is in the Word of God. So whatever the prophet of God said and whatever any preacher says has to connect back to the Bible. Can't be contrary or change it, because the Bible is unchanging. At least we can put our faith in that the Bible is unchanging. Amen. And then, you know, the prophet of God told us to look into the Bible and see ourselves. So as we look at this today, we're going to look part of the sixfold purpose, but we must see our redemption first. So look at this is the plan of redemption for the children of Israel, but it's also an allegory or has an underlying meaning for the Gentile church. Because the six seals finishes redemption. There's no redemption in the seventh seal. That's Christ. Their six seals finishes redemption, and then the seventh seal is Christ himself, which we've been talking, Brother Dale's been talking about, which would be the headstone, but not Christ coming back here in a corporal body. He does not come here in a corporal body until, if you look on your chart, where it says thousand-year millennial reign. Amen. Christ is not coming back until then in a body form. So what body does he have? You and I, we're his body, we're his movement, we're his actions. That's why that's faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. That's the action of the body of Christ here on earth. Amen. All right, and Israel has fell from that. We've been discussing that. Israel fell from being bride, but they didn't fall so far that God's not going to redeem them back and bring them in as servants, because he said he would never, ever forget Israel. So we can't forget Israel. Amen. So if you turn to Daniel 9, verse 21, I know we all have needs. If you lift your hand, I know that there's a lot of things on our heart today of healings and salvation. And I don't know. I'm going to give you a little hint. If you right here under this pulpit, about right here under down in my Sunday school class, is a board full of names. Some of your names are on there. Your family's names are on there. Your husband's, wife, sisters, brothers, all family got all on that board right there. I want to start taking those off. I want to start taking those off. Because that's for salvation. That whole thing, I want to take them off. I want to see them here. I don't want to see a picture in here. I want to see them here in the building. Amen. I want to see them here. We all have them down there, so it's all connected to every one of us. So as we pray, let's remember those that are right here. We pray over them, and we preach over them every Sunday and every Wednesday. So let's just start claiming the ground. As Israel has a land, Israel has a land to claim and a city to claim, so do we have a land to claim. This land. This land. You claim your kids came from this land. My kids came out of this land. Amen. So we're going to pray that God will bring them in. Amen. Because we all have them down there, so we're all connected to it. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray, number one, that you would be the active participant in this service, Lord. You be the one that does the speaking. You be the one that does the revealing. Because without you here, Lord, it truly is just a meeting of minds. Father, we pray, Lord, that you be with Brother Dale and Anna as they travel on the highways, that you'll clear all the traffic back. Give them a good, safe trip. And when they get up there to be with the family there, the Roberts family, Lord, that all will be well. That you'll grant them, Lord, the petition that we all pray, that Brother Roberts will come out of that thing and be made whole. Because you're the God that can do that. We call on the great physician, not one that's up there. We have good doctors on the earth, but there's a great physician. And that's you, Lord. I pray that you'd come on the scene and be there with them. And let us have a good report. Father, each one, Lord, Brother Sterling sitting back there in the foyer back there with a headache and with his ears ringing a little bit because of the noise and because of the wreck. But Father, we pray that you would intervene in that situation right now, Lord, that you'll touch him, Father. We ask your blessings on each one, Lord. We all had needs, uplifted hands. Lord, heal the sick, save the lost. Give us revelation more than anything. Because we are supernatural people that need revelation to feed off of, Lord, to make it through this dark and dreary world. Father, just be with us now and take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel 9:21. Yea, while thou was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Something about that evening time. And he informed me and talked to me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now, he didn't come to give him confusion and misunderstanding. He come to give him skill and understanding. But the part we're having with is when we start reading this, and most of the people, the message is confusion and misunderstanding. God's not a master of confusion. Satan is a master of confusion. So if you're confused, it's not God. Amen? At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who is that? Israel or the Jews. And upon thy holy city. Keep those two things in mind. The city is what? Jerusalem. To do 6 things. And that's what we're going to talk about some today when we get to it. To finish the transgression. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and prophecy. And to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again in the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So Daniel asked, Lord, what are we going to do? We're only going to be here 2 more years. What are we going to do? How are we going to act? Or what are we going to do when we get out of this 70 years in captivity? The prophet of God said God thought so much of Daniel, he just told him all the way to the consummation. Now, what is the consummation? To Israel, the consummation, if you look on your chart, the consummation of Israel is to get into that 1,000-year millennial reign. Because that is to them, not to us. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. And it is still in time. Time does not break and quit and leaves. Time is still going on for that 1,000 years until we get to the white throne of judgment. Has everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right. You're going to say amen long enough, you won't go to sleep. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So something is going to happen. Israel is going to be restored. And the city, inside that 70 weeks of Daniel, it's not going to go up. Brother Bram said it won't miss it one way, either way. It's got a starting time and it's got a stopping time. Everybody got that? Amen? So if you'll just hang on to your chart, make you some notes if you want to. But I'll show you where that applies to, because we're going to jump forward, then we're going to have to jump backwards. But we won't jump backwards today. We're going to review a little bit, and then we're going to start into the sixfold purpose. Because remember, the sixfold purpose happens during that 1260 days that the two prophets are preaching to Israel. And also, that is going to be in the middle of your week there, you see, the 1260 days. Then there's 1260 more days. Everybody okay with that? But see, most people in the message, if you'll look at me real good, look at me right here. This is what most people in the message see. There's only 1260 days left after the rapture. There is only 1260 days of preaching. But the Bible says he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay? And we'll explain why that is that way. And you'll say, well, I got these quotes. The Bible is right. Faith's final resting place is in the Word of God. I don't care what prophet, priest, or king, whatever they say, if it's contrary to the Word, they're wrong. Now, Brother Brown made some statements that you say in your mind now, well, it sounds like he was wrong. He wasn't wrong. We're wrong. We did not understand what he was talking about. Because he can't change the Bible. One more time. He cannot change the Bible. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who's he? The Antichrist. Do we see that covenant made? No. So whatever quote you got, it's got to match the Bible. I can't stand it when man starts drawing their own charts and making their own predictions and all these things that are seemingly to fulfill their own agenda. I've only got one agenda, is to make sure that you understand the Bible. The Bible. And that it is clear. what day and hour that we're living in and what God is doing at the present time. All right? So let's go back here in Jeremiah, and you've got, some of you've got your, already got your sheet out. They'll pull them up. Josiah's done a good job of putting that thing together, but let's back up and see, because remember the first thing we were speaking on was the history, because the history will tell us why they went into captivity. Now, you know one thing's for sure. There's dual meaning in Scripture. So if Israel fell because of something, then you and I did too. Because redemption's not replacement. It's bringing back that which fell, and we fell. All right? And we'll see how that connects today in bringing in that wild olive tree. Now, Jeremiah 3, verse 14 says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." Remember, Israel was God's first bride. And they went whoring, not physically, but spiritually. They went after other gods, and all the things that God told them to do, they didn't. Amen. Sound like somebody familiar? Yes. Sounds like me and you. Amen. All right? He said, "If I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." God sent them prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. One more time, after prophet. And what they do, they kill the very messenger that God sent them. Turned them down. Poor little Isaiah, a young man, they cut him in pieces. Killed him at a young age because of what? Why? Because he was prophesying against Israel, telling them what they were going to do. Jeremiah 3 verse 20 says, "Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. And a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel. For they have perverted their way and have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding." See what God's doing? He's giving them all the grace and time to come in. But what did they do? They turned it down. And he had to give them a writing or a bill of divorcement, divorcing her because she went after other gods. She went and committed spiritual fornication. And as we read in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says, the land was polluted. You can't take, if your wife goes out and commits adultery, you're not supposed to take her back because the land is polluted. So his wife went out, committed adultery. He gave her a writing of divorcement. But he couldn't forget Israel because he had said, "I couldn't." He said, "I can't forget Israel." So he's not going to just totally dump her and leave her alone, but they are going to have to go through some hardship. Here in Jeremiah, watch Jeremiah 25, verse 4 through 12. "And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings. And dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. Provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt." He's trying to get them to come back. Same way with you and I. He's trying to get us to come back. But you know what? We didn't hear. We didn't hearken. I like Brother Branham, so honest of a prophet. He said God tried to save him at 12 years old. Remember that? And he said, "I turned it down." You said, no, he was a prophet, but he wasn't born again. Not at 12 years old. He had to go through the same process we did. Amen? "Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereon and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation." Now, we know that happened when the 70 years was over, that they came back to their homeland. But we'll not get into that today. But remember, the 70 weeks of Daniel finishes up just like what he says, though. Because there's going to be a battle of Armageddon. God's going to destroy the whole, all kingdoms of the earth will be destroyed. Because Israel has come to that 1260 days. The 144,000 has been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and have been taken in a rapture. And then God's going to pour out the wrath of God upon the nations that has what? They hate, listen, every nation in the world, except maybe America, hates Israel. They want that little place gone. It's like a thorn in their side. But you know what? God's not going to forget that. And he's not going to forget that land either. Because that's where we're going to live. He thought enough of that. He's going to take his bride, his Gentile bride. We're going over there to live. Amen? Remember what we read not too long ago where the prophet of God said, right the same spot that Abraham took communion with Melchizedek is where the city's going to push up. What a prophet that knows exactly where that's going to happen at. But thank God we had a prophet that could tell us these things. So 2 Chronicles 36, 17 through 21. Therefore, now this is Chronicles talking about Israel. This is telling of how Israel is going to be destroyed. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and of his princes. Now remember, Solomon has built this great temple. He's built, put gold and silver on everything. And it was the glory days of Israel. Everything was wonderful. But then what happened was every time God would send a prophet, they would get worse because they wouldn't listen to that prophet. They would get worse and they would get worse and they would get worse. So God told them, said, I've had enough. The grace of my arm is just on that long. Okay. Same way with you and I. He come to me in 1997, Brother Donnie, and he said, my arm's that long. You're at the end of it. Same way with all of us. He come to a time and he said, hey, that's enough. You've run. I've let you do whatever you wanted to do. You can do whatever you want to do during life. But listen, I'm knocking today. And you responded. Thank God we responded the right way. Because some will not, because he has to come to everybody. But he did the same thing with Israel. He said, I'm done. I'm finished. All the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his prince, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem. See, you got to remember, it's Israel and the city. So they break down the walls of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. So in other words, at this point in time, Israel is laying ruins. There's nothing left of Israel or nothing left of the temple. And them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. What's 70? It's 3 times 20 is 60, and 10 is 70. There's your 70 years that they were in captivity. All right? So Israel was in captivity for 70 years. They had no city. They were driven out of their land. Does that sound familiar? Because it's going to happen again during this 70 weeks of Daniel, because Titus is going to do the same thing. Titus is going to destroy the city, knock the wall down, take all the things of the menorah and the Holy of Holies. He's going to take all that back to Rome with him. And then Israel's going to what? Be dispersed into nations. But thank God. There in 1940-something, Brother Brown saw them all start coming back and knew he had something to do with it. His message had something to do with the timing. Now, remember, they're not going to go over to Israel when we're gone and say, Brother Brown said, they're going to go, who is this guy? They missed that forthcoming of Elijah. That forthcoming is not to the Jews. Don't kid yourself. There's a fifth coming of Elijah promised to the Jews. He'll be a spirit of Moses and Elijah. Sure, he'll have the same spirit of Elijah that Brother Branham had on him, but it won't be the spirit of Brother Branham. It'll be the spirit of Elijah. On a person, a Jew, to go over to Israel to preach to those two prophets. I was telling you before, all these people, well, not all, but several people wanting to go overseas and take the message over there. That's okay. You get them converted, but you're not going to save 144,000. They're saved after we're gone. Leave them alone. We need to worry about ourselves. Because until we get out of here, we're going to stay here. And they're not going to get their fulfillment of the scripture. But guess what? The Bible says we're going to leave in a rapture. And then there's two witnesses is going to go to Israel and going to bring them to what? To their redemption. So this sixfold purpose, as we get along in here, because I come to this background, as we get finished with the background, we're going to see that this sixfold purpose happens when those two Jews go to Israel. So let's go to Genesis 29. And this is just for a little bit of backup. Brother Branham comes in the Daniel 70 week series and he says, 1 week equals 7 years. Now, he didn't just pull that out of his hat. It's in the Bible. All right, he had to bring it out of the Bible. He couldn't just say, okay, 1 week equals 7 years. Well, yeah, sure it fit, but I'm sure the angel that was with him, I'm sure he took him back to Genesis 29 and he looked and he said, here, you got Jacob working 7 years for Rachel. Amen. But he got Leah, which was the old Jewish church. Cause remember, there's seven church ages in the Old Testament. Amen. And there's seven church ages in the New Testament. He worked 7 years for Leah, got Leah, and he's got to work 7 years to get me and you, the Rachel part. All right. But what is he saying in Genesis 29:20 says, Jacob searched 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. Then Genesis 29:27 says, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou hast served with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. What? Her 7 years. So 1 week equals 7 years. So now in the 70 weeks of Daniel, and we'll get it on the chart a little bit later, but this, I'm just going to throw this in. 70 years are 70 weeks, so 70 times 7 is 490 years. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. 70 times 7. So it's 70 weeks of Daniel. It's 70 times 7, because 1 week equals 7 years. So if you got 70 weeks times 7 is 490 years. So 490 years is the time that God is going to start and build the temple back like he promised. We're going to talk about it maybe later on, but not now. Start the temple, and then he's going to finish their redemption in this sixfold purpose in this last week, which has got to be 490 years. Is that all right? 490 years, and we'll get into that. It's going to require that you study, though. It's going to require that you read the book, listen to the tape, go back through the history, because, you know, Brother Branham got all this, a lot of his dates and stuff from history books. All right? But I gave you that chart that you can use, and then I've got the other chart that Brother Branham drew. Now, we'll give it out next Sunday, but it's the chart that Brother Branham drew that Becky, his daughter, mimeographed off to give to the people. And it was verified by George Smith, because I asked him myself. Me and Dad both did. He looked at the picture, and you can tell it was typed back in the 60s, because it's the old typewriter typing. All right? And the little bitty, it was supposed to have been the king, you know, that had the head of gold and the brass. And if you'll listen to the three tapes, somewhere in there, Brother Branham, I think it's in the last one, he says, Becky, it looks like a girl. And it does. It looks like a girl with a dress on. So it's the same identical chart that Brother Branham drew. And then we have another one somewhere, I got to find it, where Brother Branham drew the same chart on a napkin for a brother the next day at a motel, at a restaurant. So we don't want to change. What I'm saying is we're not going to change a chart. You can't change a chart to match the Bible. That chart matches exactly what the Bible says. If not, then Brother Branham is false. Why is the first thing that people, when they get ready to say sayonara to the message, what are they first thing you do? Well, Brother Branham was wrong in Daniel 70 weeks. Well, no, he wasn't. He was a prophet. He didn't waste three services to be wrong. You say, oh, well, when the seals opened up, well, show me one time. Bring me one quote where Brother Branham said, because I'm going to tell you, in the seven seals, we just went through them. Every seal, he said, I was wrong here. I was wrong here. This was not what I was thinking. This was not, remember the fifth seal Jew, he thought was us. The first seal he thought was a white horse rider. He said, I was wrong, I was wrong, I was wrong. Show me one time. He said, I was wrong in Daniel 70 weeks and now this will correct it. He always goes back and says, see, we had to get these Daniel 70 weeks out of the way. And you say, well, I got quotes. I don't care about your quotes. Quotes will kill you. They verbatim quoted Moses to Jesus and he said, you're of your father. They had Moses' quote book. They had ever how many sermons Moses preached, they had them all. We be of Moses, we be of Abraham. Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. So be careful what you're talking about. And I'm not trying to be hard, I'm just going to tell you that this thing's got to be, as the old saying was, we got to put this thing to bed. We got to put this thing where there is no fear. People fear, as Dad said this morning, people fear Daniel 70 weeks and they fear the seals. I don't fear them at all. You know why they fear them? Because they haven't been taught. Whatever that brother that said that we don't need teaching anymore, the problem is he just ain't had enough. Or he'd have never said that. And you know what? It does get, like I said last Sunday, I used Michael for an example. You know, Michael said he did not like getting up and go to school every day. School is hard. You know? Playing basketball or baseball, that's easy and fun. But you know what? You gotta go to school too. So we gotta go to school here. This may be a long, drawn out, boring process, but you know what? I believe this time will answer your questions. Cause we're gonna take it by the Bible. And the Bible is faith's final resting place. It's in the Word of God. So let's go to Daniel 9 verse 1 and look next on your quotes. We read it last Sunday, because last Sunday we spoke on Daniel's confession. Brother Branham said Daniel's confession is what brought Gabriel on the scene. So maybe if we'll start praying, we can get Michael here. Amen. We can get Michael, because remember, Gabriel is to Israel. Gabriel is the announcing angel to Israel. Michael is our angel. Amen. Michael is our angel, which is Christ. So Daniel 9:1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Assuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You see how he got an answer from God. Maybe if we did the same thing, we might get an answer from God. But he set his face and he said, God, what are you talking about? We only got 2 more years. I understood by books. Do you understand by books? Daniel 9 verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people. Look how many times he connects him and the city, the people in the city. Because when we get into this Daniel 70 weeks with the dates and the times and where everybody says this is wrong and this is not what he's saying and all this stuff, remember, he has to restore the people and the city. That city is very important. Because what are they doing now? They're over there now trying their best to establish temple worship, because if they can get the red heifer, if they can get the Holy of Holies, if they can get that menorah back and set that temple up, the Jews think that the Messiah can come because of what they're doing. Okay, so, but we know one thing's for sure, the 144,000, they're going to get saved and they're going to go in there and say, hey, you don't need this. And when you understand what's going to happen, they're going to get mad at them. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. We read that a few minutes ago. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, let's start with the quotes and let's read them just for a few minutes. And let's just get a background. The first quote here, Brother Branham says in Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. Now, there's our lesson for the next 3, 4, 5 meetings, whatever the Lord will reveal, 70 of weeks. Now, I'll ask Doc if he will tonight to put up my board there so I'll be able to mark it down. I don't want you to miss it now. You've got to study with me and study deep or you'll miss it. And I want to draw it out here on the blackboard, and then you bring your pencils and paper and write down these dates, these times, and all about it. Now, the 70 of weeks begins, now get this, after the church is taken out. Now, everybody understands that. Say amen. Amen. Be careful. Be careful. Because you look at this, and if you read this, just this is why I said a quote will kill you. The 70 weeks begins after the church is taken out. Now, if you take what he said, that's not true. 70 weeks began at 606 B.C. and consummates on this chart here. But if you'll get this key, you will understand every quote that you think in your brain right now that's going through your brain that Brother Brown said there's only 3.5 years left. I know that there is. There's only 1,260 days left of a ministry of Jesus Christ. But that's not the whole week. That's 1,260 days because the Bible said that there's 1 week left after the rapture. So you got to make everything fit. But now what's he doing? He's bringing all of the 70 weeks begins after the church is taken out. Because the first part, those 69 weeks, Israel is truly not being totally restored. Only in this last week that you've got in your hand is God going to send two people over there. And they're going to be brought back by a preaching of 1,260 days, there's two prophets going to redeem the people of Israel. Yes. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. Okay, so then, you know, there's quotes where they people ask him is about the 7 years. He said, no, no, it's the last half. Well, it is the last half. It's the last half of the week of the Messiah ministry. He's already had 3.5 when he was on earth, and he's got 3.5 for the Jews.
That's right.
But that's not the last week. Because the Bible says there's 1 week left after the rapture. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. You change that Bible right there. And who's he? He is the Antichrist. Because God don't break a covenant. Man breaks a covenant. God does not break a covenant. This man shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So in other words, he breaks a covenant. So that's who? That's the Antichrist. And do we see that signed? No, by a prophet of God tells us we do not. We will not be here. He said, if you see that beast sign that treaty with Israel, you missed the rapture. And the Bible says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. We can stop right there. I'm going to tell y'all like I told those preachers. Keep bringing me everything you bring me. I'm going to bring you right back to that one scripture right there. Explain that scripture to me first, and then I'll listen to all this other stuff you got to say. But, of course, they don't, and they won't. And that's okay. Now, 70 weeks begins. Now, get this, after the church is taken out. Because, remember, God cannot restore Israel while we're still here. Can't work with both of us at the same time. So we've got to be taken out of the way. The wild olive branch has got to be taken out of the way. So God is going to deal with Israel for that last week or 7 years that you have here. Is everybody okay with that? I don't care. It doesn't matter to me if you believe it, but are you okay with what I'm saying? Okay? Because if you say I don't agree with that, I'm going to go back to Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. There's no half weeks in Daniel 70 weeks. Find me one. They're all full weeks. Okay. So now everybody understand that, say amen. So the church is gone. Because look, watch this. Revelation 6:1 to Revelation 19:21, paragraph 71, is connected with the 70 of weeks. Therefore, we must stop and explain before we go further. We must stop and explain why these 70 of weeks, because if you don't, you'll miss those seals, you'll miss the trumpets. What? You'll miss the placing of them.
Right.
All right, they all happen in this last week. Amen. To the Jews. Because look, do we see the plagues? No, we're already gone. Do we get the trumpets? No, they're to Israel. We're already gone. The last woe? You better not be here on that last woe. You'll be in the Third World War. So we're gone. From Revelation 6:1 to 19:21, the bride's not even on the earth. Hello? I like Keith Reed. Hello? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Francine, is that good? Hello, somebody. But it's not. We get the spiritual application of Revelations 4:1 to Revelations 19:21. Because 19:21, this is where we come back, right here. Everybody look at your chart. Don't look at me. We come back right here. When this millennium begins, we come riding back into the millennium according to Revelations 19:21. But it's not to us. We come back here as what? As wife. We come back here as the bride. We come back here as not servants. We don't come back here to fulfill any time. Hey, when we take a body change here, we have time no longer. We don't have to have without. That 1,000 years is not to us. That last week is not to us. Okay, so maybe you'll understand a little bit more of what we're going through here. Because Brother Brown said, we must stop. If you don't, you'll miss those seals. You'll miss the trumpets. You'll miss the vials. You'll miss the plagues. These three unclean spirits like frogs. The three woes. The casting out of the red dragon. And the woman and the son. That's all Israel. Sure, we get a spiritual application of it. You'll miss it all if you don't, because it takes place right here in this 70th week. The one you got in your hand. That's the last week. That, this, you're looking at Daniel 9:27. What you're holding in your hand is Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Right here. Got it? Because remember, we go in a rapture right here. Gentile rapture. Church ages are over. We go in a rapture because we have to go in a rapture so that God can go deal with the Jews. All right, we are not here when God deals with the Jews. Let me say that one more time. God will not deal with us and Israel at the same time. Israel has to be in her homeland. And we have to be gone in the rapture before that last week can take place. But Brother Bram said it all takes place in that 70th week, not that half week. He didn't say the 69 and a half one. Like most people in the message believe. And I hate it, but if you're just not been taught. Because Brother Branham, I'm not going to change a quote he's got, and I'm not going to have to change a Bible for what we're talking about here. But I have seen and said in ministers' meeting where preachers totally change charts, bring scripture in that don't have nothing to do, just being totally illiterate about what's going on. I told somebody, I said, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're a big prize fighter, and all of a sudden, you know, you're Muhammad Ali, and all of a sudden, Michael Pernunway, at 18 years old or whatever age he is, walks up to Muhammad Ali and squares him right in the nose and knocks him on the ground. Muhammad Ali is ill because some little pipsqueak popped him in the face when he wasn't supposed to, right? We've all been that way. And what's the first thing we do? We come out fighting. We just start flailing and jabbing away, but maybe that's what happened. Now, the prophet Daniel, read paragraph 72, had been in Babylon for 68 years. You want to run references back and save yourself some of the time that I've had of looking it up. 68 years. He went into captivity in B.C. 606. Now, here's where we're going to start with the dates Just keep that in your mind. We'll do the dates a little bit later, but there's one of your markers. And when the vision came to him, it was B.C. 538. 538 from 606, leaves 68. 68 years had been in Babylon amongst heathens and still had the victory. We can't stay an hour. He said that, I didn't. We can't stay an hour. Number two, Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. The prophet of God said, this is the one most important scripture in the Bible. What does it do? It tells the closing of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. This scripture, the 70 of weeks, it discloses and tells exactly from the time that Daniel started there until the end of the consummation. Now, what I tell you the end of the consummation is, right here, this is when Israel is fully restored, is when they start this 1,000-year millennial reign. That's when they've got their people back. That's when you've got us back there. That's when they've got that millennial temple built. And we're fixing to take 1,000 years of millennial reign. Everybody okay with that? All right. Some of you's heard this over and over, but some have not. So just act like you hadn't heard it before. It's the one most important scriptures in the book. What does it do? It tells the closing of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. This scripture, the 70 of weeks, it discloses and tells exactly from the time that Daniel started there until the end of the consummation. It's one of the greatest timepieces. How many heard me say, if you want to know what day of the week it is, look at the calendar. If you want to know what time we're living in, watch the Jews. That's right. There's God's calendar taken from right here. Any theologian, any Bible scholar, anyone will tell you that this is the timepiece, the Jews. All right, number three. Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. Israel's returning to her homeland. What day that God determines Israel to be a nation? Now, not when the UN decided it, because that was 1947. 48, sorry. They started in 47 and they made it in 48. You're right. Thank you, Sister Trudy. But not when they decided. This says when God determines Israel to be a nation, that's the day that there'll never be another Gentile saved. I'll prove that by these 70 of weeks if I can only find them days. I'm going over to get the astronomy calendar and the Julian and the astronomy and the Roman and all of them. There's somewhere there's something. God knows about it and that he is able to reveal it. I know the Julian calendar has 365 1/4 days in a year. So, they're all mixed up, but there's a truth somewhere. All right, Brother Branham, that, if you don't know the story behind it, he preached Gabriel's instructions to Daniel Sunday morning. He preached the sixfold purpose Sunday night, and then the next week Sunday, he preached the 70th week and put all the dates and the times. At this time right now, he doesn't have them. He's just doing like we're doing. He's just setting a foundation to build on. All right, look at number four. Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. The Jew that we know, that's not the real Jew. The real Jews, that real Orthodox who has not defiled himself with the things of the world, who's not went out and joined other churches. That's the one that's returning yonder, living on cheese and bread upon the hillside, not allowed in the old city. Did you know that? The Orthodox was not allowed in the old city. Had to build them a city on this side in the no man's land with machine guns pointing both ways. But she's beginning to put forth her buds, amen and amen, the time is at hand. There's Ishmael and Isaac standing there fussing about the land yet, but she belongs to Israel. If you happen to go over in the New Jerusalem, they won't let you come to the Old Jerusalem. You have to go there first and let them explain it all to you, the Arabs. Then take you to over to the other side. That's Ishmael's children. But wait, there's coming a time when God's children's going to take her over. That's right. Now, he's not talking about us. He's talking about Israel. We're not going to take over a city. Our city, we don't have one. Remember, Abraham didn't have one. He was looking for one. Right. All right. Jerusalem will be rebuilt again. The daily sacrifice will be set up. And the Antichrist will make a covenant for them last 7 weeks. Now, he did make a mistake there because it's 7 years. It ain't 7 weeks. It's last 7 years. Everybody got that? Say amen. Okay, I'm not trying to change anything, but that's what he's talking about. Because last 7 years, that put 49 years after the rapture. That's not right. Okay? And in the midst of it, he'll break that covenant and turn them all into Catholicism. The abomination will spread over the whole thing like that, and then the end shall be watch. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? You okay with that? All right, let's start now here just for a few minutes with the sixfold purpose, and then we'll... This is enough of a stage to set, I believe, till we can start in the sixfold purpose. We'll read one of them today and not be so long. Sixfold purpose. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do these six things. So, inside of Daniel 70 weeks, everybody look at me, inside of Daniel 70 weeks, these six things have to happen. That's just plain English. Read it. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That six things has to happen inside of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now I want to ask you a question. If, as most people believe, look at your chart now. Most people in the message believe there's only 3.5 years left after the rapture to fulfill the 70 weeks of Daniel. Do you hear me what I'm saying? That is false. Let me read Daniel 9:27 again. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Not a half a week. 1 week. Because I want to ask you a question. If all six of these things, Brother Ray, if all six of these things have to be finished inside of that 490 years or 70 weeks, everybody got that? That's what the Bible says. These six things has to happen to restore Israel and the city. Because what happens right here in verse 25, it says, know therefore and understand. What? He's beginning to tell us all the way that it's going to happen. But in Daniel 9:24, he tells you the whole thing. This is what's going to happen. There are 70 weeks determined to do these six things. Now, I want to ask you a question. If, as most people in the message believe, and I say 99% of them, that right here, if you look at your chart, right here is the middle of the week. 1,260 days is half, it's 3.5 years, according to the calendar, not the Julian calendar. Is they okay with that?
Okay.
All right. Now, that's all. If they say, then what they're saying is that's the end of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, how in the name of the good Lord are you going to have a battle of Armageddon right here, right? But if you take all six and put them in the 70 weeks, as they say, you got to bring in everlasting righteousness before the tribulation period. I mean, before the battle of Armageddon. Can't happen. You can't seal up the vision and prophecy. Brother Brown says anoint the most holy means we're riding into the millennium because we are the anointing to the temple. That's way over here. So there can't be 3.5 years left of time. Does everybody understand me? Time. There's not 3.5 years of time left. There's 7 years according to Daniel 9:27. I'm going to keep reading that and you're going to hate me afterward, but I really don't care. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he's going to step in and say, I'm done. You know what? And so is the two prophets. They're going to say, all right, our 1260 days are done. We're going in a rapture. But who's going to bring in everlasting righteousness? Who's going to seal up the vision and prophecy? And who's going to anoint the most holy? That can't happen on this side of the battle of Armageddon. Everybody get that? Can't happen. So there's 7 years of time left. There's only 3.5 years of a prophecy of two prophets to Israel. That's according to the Bible. But according to Daniel 9:27, there's 1 week left after the rapture. Brother Brown says it 7 times in the book that there's 1 week left after the rapture. But what they're not getting is they're not getting that that's the time element. The time element of the 70 weeks has to bring us to the consummation. Is that the consummation? No. That's the consummation. That's when Ezekiel 40 through 44, the millennial temple will be built by the Jews. And then we ride into that millennium temple. They got to have a time to build it. So bring me whatever quote you want. They're all right if you'll place it in the right place. Because the Bible's not, we're not going to change the Bible. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he'll cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. But there's no way that sixfold purpose can be fulfilled only in those 1260 days. Can't happen. How can you bring in everlasting righteousness and then destroy everything? Because if you look, well, I'm going to give you other chart. That little line right there is when the Battle of Armageddon is going to start. That's a nuclear destruction that's going to destroy what this world you know of is going to destroy it. So how are you going to bring in everlasting righteousness over here and then destroy it? How are you going to seal up the vision and prophecy in the people and destroy them? How are you going to anoint the most holy over here and then destroy them? Can't happen. When I started reading this, Brother Dale, the first thing he said, make sure you get the sixfold purpose right. He said, if you get it right, he said, you'll get your chart right and you'll get what Brother Branham meant. You'll get it right. Because of the sixfold purpose. And I believe that's what we're starting on now. So look, number five, entombment. The first thing we wish to draw your attention to is the infallibility of God's Word. God keeps His Word to the letter. And tonight we want to fasten our thought on that, that God keeps His Word. We can rest assured of anything that God has said in His Word to be the truth. And faith does not rest upon the shifting sands of man's idea or man's theology. Everybody say amen to that? Yeah. Amen. But it has its final resting place on the unmovable rock of God's eternal Word, the Word. Number six, God hiding Himself in simplicity. And remember, that's the same spirit from the days of Noah that said there's no rain up there. We can shoot the moon with instruments and there's no rain. But if God said there would be rain there, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that's not seen, and faith takes its final resting place on the Word of God, that's where it finds its resting place. I just wanted to bring those two quotes in there to tell you that we're going to base everything we have on the Word of God. Right. Amen? We got to take it back to the Word of God. If it doesn't fit, then we're wrong. Right. We're wrong. Prophet's not wrong. Bible's not wrong. We're wrong. Right. All right? If we get it wrong, somewhere in there's got to be the right. Brother Branham did not spend two-hour services to be wrong. He was so confident, and I'll show you many, many quotes. He's so confident, he even says, it's thus saith the Lord. Yet the people want to tear it to pieces. But if you'll put your faith in the Word of God and read what the Bible says, you'll know what that prophet said. All right? And that's what we're going to do as we go on through this 70 weeks of Daniel. Sixfold purpose, number seven. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. For what purpose? Whose people was it determined upon? Daniel's people, the Jews. And what was it determined for? Upon not only Daniel, but upon Daniel's holy city. Daniel's holy city. Now class, what was Daniel's holy city? Congregation says, Jerusalem. All right, so now, I wrote myself a little note. You can read it there. Redemption of the Jews and the city. So we've got to take both. Because if you don't take both, then you're going to get the sixfold purpose wrong again. Because how are you going to build a millennial temple over here during the same time the two witnesses are here? Which is contrary to the Bible. And then in the Battle of Armageddon, you're going to destroy it all. Can't happen. God's not going to build a temple and then destroy it. Amen. So there's got to be an answer. Brother Bram said there's got to be an answer somewhere. Sixfold purpose, number eight. Now I want to know, friends, that striking on these things, I'm certainly leaving out weeks of teaching. But just kind of hitting it so that when the weather cools off, oh, I wish it would here too, or a little later when we get into those seals, vials, trumpets, all these things, that I can refer back and say, do you remember on the 70 weeks of Daniel? Do you remember the church age when it went up and what taking place? And these 7 weeks of Daniel, 70 weeks of Daniel, covers from the going up of the church until the coming back of the church. That space is what it covers. Now, not only 70 weeks of Daniel, part of it. Because remember, the 70 weeks of Daniel began in 606 B.C. to get all the things back together to come up to this time to where the Messiah has to come. Because it says in Daniel 9, what does it say in Daniel 9:26, and after 3 score and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. You got to bring a Messiah in there and you got to have him cut off from the Jews to bring it into us, the Gentiles. Okay? Everybody all right? Now, not all 70 weeks of Daniel, part of it. 70 weeks are determined. Now, there's a sixfold purpose to his visit, telling him what was going to come to pass. Now, there's a sixfold purpose of his coming. Now, tonight, I think they'll leave off over here in the scriptures of where we were at this morning. There's a sixfold purpose. Now, continue on down. 70 weeks are determined. He starts reading the scripture. Upon thy people. Now, remember, that is all the journey of Israelites will have on this earth. They are determined. 70 weeks is just determined. That's all that's allotted to the Jews. So there's only the 490 years allotted to the Jews. Everybody got that? No halves, no thirds, no fourths. 70 weeks, right? Upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Therefore, this 70 weeks, this is Brother Branham interpolating. Now, don't miss it. It will reveal from that time to the end of the Jews and also to the end of Jerusalem until there be a new city built. Because remember, go back to your Bible. What happens with the Mosque of Omar, which is right in the middle of the new city of Jerusalem? Prophet of God said they'll drop a bomb right in the middle of that thing and blow it to pieces. Well, that's going to completely destroy the old city. Because it's got to be destroyed. This new millennial temple is new. It's a new temple. Or you'll get something if you'll just, you just got to just think. Just think, and you'll get this. Therefore, this 70 weeks, now don't miss it, it will reveal from that time to the end of the Jews and also to the end of Jerusalem until there be a new city built. So now if Daniel 70 weeks ends right here, like 99% of the people in the message believe, where are you going to build a new city at? Got to have time. We're talking about time. Jews are a time piece. You and I are not. We're eternal creatures. They are a time piece. All right? Because look, we've had from the time Christ died until today as Gentiles to receive messages. Right? There was no time, but now remember Israel, when them two prophets start preaching, they preach 1260 days. That's it. This thing ain't gonna linger on no further. The Bible says, we'll read it in a few minutes. The Bible says in Revelations, what is 11, says, I'll give my power to two witnesses and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth and ashes. That's all they get. They get a time. Until there's a new city built. Now, I hope we get into it real good and deep tonight. Are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do what? Number one is finish the transgression. So let's read what Brother Brown says about that. And then we will review it back next Sunday and start and probably try to get all the six in real quick here. Sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. Number nine. Now, if we get back into Daniel again, we'll find out that in Daniel, we find out here the 24th verse. To finish the transgression. To finish what? To finish Israel's transgression. What is a transgress? It is to go against something. What did I just tell you back in Chronicles and all that? God sent all them prophets. Every time they'd send them a prophet, Israel would just be contrary. They transgressed. They didn't want it. It's to go against something. What did they go against? They didn't go against them prophets. Remember that one prophet said, God, they're not listening to me. God told the prophet, it's not you they turned down. It's me they're turning down. Can we be doing the same thing today? Turning down the very thing that's going to change us and get us out of here. A transgress against me is to do wrong to me. Transgress against you is to do a wrong to you. So Israel did a wrong to God. And in this 70th week, not half, in this 70th week, what's going to happen? God is going to finish the transgression of Israel. Finish the transgression will be turning away the ungodliness from Jacob. And then all Israel will be born again. All of them will receive the Holy Ghost. Everybody got that? Finish the transgression will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. That's your first part of the seven, of the sixfold purpose, because they did. They transgressed. They turned him down. They said, no, we don't want it. So through two prophets, what's going to happen? Through two prophets, they're going to turn right around and they're going to point them not to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the moment. Hey, Israel can read the New Testament now. The literal New Testament, Israel can read it now. They just don't believe it. Right? But they believe that Old Testament. So when you go over in the Old Testament, you take two prophets of Moses and Elijah, and you go over there and they start preaching. They're going to preach Christ out of the Old Testament. Bring him into the New Testament and say, you missed this man. Because remember, they're going to preach Christ so much to Israel, to over there, and I can't, maybe it's not in Ezekiel, but it's over there somewhere, where they say, where did you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friends. They preach Christ so much and so real. So, you know what? Christ is not going to be there, but Christ is not here standing in front of you today. But the Spirit of Christ is. There's a Spirit of Christ that's standing here trying to teach you something. Okay? And it's up to you to take it or receive it or fall asleep or do whatever you're doing. So, but this has nothing to do with us. This is Israel. Our redemption, we have a sixfold purpose for our redemption. It's called seal number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. What's the first seal? First seal, we covered it, is a white horse rider. But it also types what? Justification. What's God trying to do? What's God trying to do? He's trying to justify Israel. Because you know what? He justified you so much. Whatever you did in the past, ever how much you turned God down, ever how much happened, if you're truly justified, God has forgot that and he'll never bring it up again. So same way with Israel. God's two prophets are going to save and fill those 144,000 with the Holy Ghost through justification, through sanctification, and through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're going to see. That's why I got that right here. There's only three processes of grace. Remember, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Justification, did he not finish your transgression the day he justified you? Didn't, can't hold one thing against you if you're truly justified. Cannot hold one thing.
That's right.
Those who he has justified, he has already glorified. But all Israel will be born again. All of them will receive the Holy Spirit. Now let's read Romans 11. Because this brings in the ungodliness from Jacob. Watch. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Now remember, this is the story of the olive tree. Now who is the olive tree? Israel is the olive tree. Israel, olive tree has branches. But there was a wild olive tree. You looking at him? And everybody says amen. And they, same to you. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Now what is he saying? He's taking the regular olive tree. Because what happened was, if you go back in the Old Testament, God whacked the branches off of that olive tree, which was Israel, cut her off, divorced her. I just read that to you. Divorced her and put her away. But now he's able to graft them in again. He's going to right here under 1260 days. He's now dealing with this people right here though. Watch. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature and were graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, that's us, how much more shall these which be the natural branch be grafted into their own olive tree? God cut Israel off for seven church ages. Grafted in a wild olive tree. Me and you, the Gentiles, grafted in a wild olive tree. But God's not going to kill the tree. The tree is still an olive tree. What are we doing? We're living off the life of that olive tree. Amen? But God's not going to kill the tree. He's going to take us in a rapture, and he's going to graft them right back in. That's what he says right here. And how much more shall these which be the natural branch be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They're blinded right now. So they can't, you can't finish the transgression if somebody's blind. God's got to open their eyes, but he only opens their eyes when you and I leave. Yes. Through two prophets. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. He's starting the process of bringing Israel not back to wife again. Can't do it. He's divorced her. She's already went and had another man. He can't take her back. But he can bring her to a place and restore her to a place that 144,000 can live in that temple, in that city with us, but they're not bride. They're servants. And then untold millions and billions of Jews. What about the fifth seal Jew? They get eternal life and they didn't even care whether Jesus was Christ or whatever he was. Because God blinded them right here. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. He's going to lift it off of their eyes. Two prophets are going to prophesy, and they're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which will make them servants. He justifies them by these three processes of finishing transgression, make an end of sin, and make reconciliation for their iniquity. Let's read Revelation 11:1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, arise, and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. What is 42 months? I'm going to wait till somebody says what it is. 3.5 years. Thank you. Okay. And I will give power. Deanna could have figured that one out. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, or 3 times 20, clothed in sackcloth. So 1,260 days is 3.5 years according to the Jewish calendar. Everybody got that? Say amen. According to 30 days to a month, that's where Brother Brown found his dates at. He went back and found what? God's calendar. Amen. Not the Jewish, not the Julian calendar, not the Roman calendar. It's always 165 or 365 and a quarter and all these different things. But God's real calendar is 360 days to a year. So we're starting on the sixfold purpose. I want you to look at that chart and just keep it. Remember one thing's for sure. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck by no means. I just want us to see it. I've had so many people. Most questions you get asked when you go somewhere is about Daniel's 70 weeks, especially if you make mention of it, because it's not being preached. It's just not. It's not being preached. It's being preached more by denominational people. In my heavens, they've got it all different kind of things. They've got, and Brother Branham will cover it if you'll read your your Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, that the Millerites thought it was 1919 or 1917, somewhere in there. And they turned in to be Seventh-day Adventists. He tells you the whole story. But they went up on a mountain and had wings. They thought the rapture was going to take place because they had figured out that Daniel's 70 weeks was going to end by some date in 1919. Brother Branham said, I can tell you something happened in 1919. He said, but it wasn't that. Amen. So we got a prophet that's going to tell us exactly what that Bible says. He's not going to deviate one bit from the Bible. He cannot deviate from the Bible, or he is a false prophet. And we know he's not. I know he's not. You have to decide whether you know he's not or not. Let's stand our feet. Musicians, come. You just pray about this. We've been over this. I know we went through it about 3 or 4 years ago. Brother Dale's been going over it since 1974. So talk about an old lesson for him. That's an old lesson for him. But if you'll get it solid, you won't be shook. Because downstairs we're reading in Hebrews The Bible says he'll not only shake the earth again, he's going to shake the heaven and the earth. And that's what he's going to do now. He's going to shake everything. But you know what a shaking does? A shaking gets all the rats out, gets all the dust. Man, you see a good shaking, you'll see the dust falling. You'll see all kinds of stuff falling. Well, that's what's going to happen. God's going to shake this thing one last time. If you're built on a solid rock, you can't be shaken. You might feel a little tremor every once in a while, but you know what? If you're standing on a solid rock, you're not going to be shaken. Faith's final resting place is where? In that Word of God right there. Let's sing a song. Keep praying for Brother Dale. Who's Lord? So glad I'm yours. Thank you for all these people that are taking over, the brothers and sisters that are helping.
Mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and set me free. So glad I'm yours.
And that you'll touch him, Father, and keep him safe. In Jesus' name we pray.
If you ask for bread and he give you a rock, ask for fish and he give you a scorpion. We're children of God, living way below our privileges. If we have a problem or anything in our life, take it to the Father. Like we were talking about this morning, you know it. I believe Brother Dale has made us good, rough Christians. Well, we don't have to cry out for Brother Dale to pray for us every 5 minutes. And he's listening now, he'll know, because they're listening going up the road. That he's built a group of people that are rough. He's rough on us, ain't no doubt. But you know what? It's not him, it's love. It's correction. And if we don't take correction, the Bible's plain what we are. So if it's said out of love like it is, then we need to take it as love. But let's not be sniffling, babbling babies anymore. Grow up. Grow up in God. You, in your closet at home, you ask for God to give you. Don't say, now if I can get to church and get brothers. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to go find a preacher to pray for you. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Doesn't say you got to pray. It just says lay hands. How many times has Brother Dale done that? Many times somebody say, I got a backache or something. He'll go outside and he'll shake your hand. And if he'll put that hand on your back or on your shoulder. And he's praying for you without nobody ever knowing it. See, to me, that's what it is. You know, you can have all the emotion you want to. But I want results. And I believe we're getting results. because God's doing what he said he would do. He's going to build a group of people that'll be able to stand the pressure of this end time. Not a bunch of babbling babies, but some real, true, hardened, battle-hardened, Brother Brown said, battle-scarred veterans. It's what God wants, and that's what we're going to be. We just got to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. I'll promise you, endure. Keep enduring. Pray for us also. I'm leaving in the morning real early and heading to Illinois for about 4 days. So I'll be back on Thursday. So just keep me in prayers. And Brother Dale and them will be back tomorrow. But let's pray for Brother Dale Roberts, that God will not just bring him out of what he's in, but will bring him out of all that. You know, he was paralyzed there before he fell. So we're just going to pray that God's going to restore all that. Because we're going to take that petition to the Heavenly Father. We're not going to have to go through 14 dead saints. We're not Catholics. We come boldly to the throne of grace. If you can't come boldly to the throne of grace, you need to come up here. And we sure enough need to pray for you, because you got something on you that you need to get off. If you can't go boldly to the throne of grace by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then let's don't be weak Christians. Let's be real strong, stout Christians. So God bless you. Let's bow our heads. The Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray that what we've said, Lord, will be meaningful to the people, because we tried our best to give them what you've already told us, Lord, through the 66 books of this wonderful, infallible Bible that was written by the Holy Ghost through several different individuals. But it all comes out to be the infallible Word of God. We also, Lord, brought in the prophet that you sent us in the end time to help us, to bring clarity to what you've already said, Father, not to confuse us. Lord, if we're confused, Father, we know it's the devil, because he's the master of confusion. So we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would push all that back, Lord, that we'll understand in the coming days what's being brought to us, that we're being molded and made into an image, not of jello, not of powder, but an image of a rock, a stone, a revelation. Father, be with Brother Dale Roberts, Lord. Bring him out of that, what he's in, Father. Brother Dale and him will be there in just a little while, Lord. We pray that you'd just touch him. Lord, as the prayer goes up here, Father, you said the prayers, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, we got righteous people in this church that's praying today, Lord, that you'll touch Brother Dale Roberts and that you'll bring him out of that, Lord. We give you the praise and honor and glory for it anyway, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Go with the people. Be with them, Lord, on the highways. Be with them in their service this week as far as going to work and doing the things, Lord, that we have to do for life. Be with Sister Francine, Monique, and Danielle, Father, as they stay here for us for a few days. Bless their journey as they travel on, Lord. We know that, Lord, you'll take care of them, Father. Just bless us and be with us, Lord. Be with Brother Joe and all the ones that's coming back, Brother Bob, Brother Luis, Brother Anderson, Lord, that you'll touch them, Lord, on their way back, Father. That they'll give us a good report when they get back, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Lord, so glad I'm yours.
Keep those papers.
I'm so glad.